Come with us now, if you dare, down a rickety staircase into a dank, dark basement. What awaits? The Saturday Night Freak Show.
Welcome back, ladies and germs, to the Saturday Night Freak Show podcast. Every Saturday night, right here on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and other fine podcast repositories, the Freak Show happens, whether you like it or not. Thanks for joining us, boys and girls. This is going to be a totally spoiler-filled podcast tonight, just so you know. So we want to make sure that you've seen tonight's movie before you listen to this exciting episode. You're listening to the Internet Radio Superstars.
Travis.
Jenny.
Brent.
Sean.
And I'm Colin. And as always, we gather on a Saturday night, we watch a movie, and then we talk about it. If you're listening, pleasure and edification. Tonight, Jenny picked the movie. Jenny, what did we watch?
Triangle.
From the year?
Oh, what would we say, 2009?
And it was directed by?
Christopher Smith.
Chris Smith.
Written and directed by Christopher Smith.
Merry Christmas.
There you go. So I can tell you a little bit of background information about Christopher Smith. And this is why interesting to follow directors on these kind of movies. Because you see something and you're like, it was kind of decent. And then you're like, what else is there? What else are they doing next? Because otherwise, you don't see anything. It goes direct to video or something or Netflix. He did a movie called Creep. Anybody?
The recent one?
Creep? It was the one with Franca Potente in the London Underground. This would have been from like 05, I think. And then he did Severance.
Is that the British one?
Yep. But yeah. The Office games that go bad.
Yeah, I remember that one.
And then he did this, and then after this he did Black Death with Sean Bean.
No.
It was like a medieval kind of thing.
And Sean Bean die in it?
He does.
Of course.
Spoiler. Yeah. We may spoil a couple other movies too, so beware. We should give you an alert before that happens. But
Yeah.
So that's the career. I don't know what he's done since then. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Triangle. Jenny?
Why?
Well, this was recommended to me by a coworker
who has moved. Papers.
And I was looking for a thriller as a choice for my movie pick, and this came across my paths, and I'd never seen it, so I'm like, why not?
Well, you are a brave soul indeed,
choosing a movie sight unseen. Now, can you give us a synopsis, a brief synopsis of what the movie's about?
Well, the main character is Melissa George, whom you may know from Amityville Horror. And she goes on a sailing trip with a group of people, and they get kind of shipwrecked. And then they see a big ship come, and they get on it for safety. And then a sequence of events, they all end up dying, and Melissa finds herself experiencing extreme deja vu and then realizing that it's a cycle to where they get on the boat, they all die, and they're stuck in a loop, a time loop.
Do we ever establish
time loop?
Does it take place in the Bermuda Triangle?
They don't say that.
I think it's supposed to, but the name of the boat's Triangle, which is like, you know, I mean, there's so many, you know, like cleverly hid.
And technically they are in Florida, at least the ship comes from Miami.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming it's the Bermuda Triangle.
Well, seeing as we got 237 for all you Shining fans, like plastered all over this movie, and then having the boat named Triangle, it's like, okay, I get where these guys are coming from.
Yeah, the harbor and the locations look like straight out of Dexter, you know, as far as like the Miami look of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is like a white movie. I mean, there's just like this glaring sun. Like, I'm just like, I want to put fucking sunglasses on.
It's overexposed. On like, I was watching it feeling like, man, I know that they do this high contrast thing, but it's overexposed, isn't it?
It's a like, little bothersome.
I thought Travis was like, there's so many white people in this movie. It's so white.
Where's the diversity, damn it?
Well, it was.
We need a fat black woman.
So I am wondering if it didn't look like shot on video, though. So it wasn't like that bloomed out white. It was just like film over.
It was like white. It was like intentional, like like after like the processing of the film was
the hot blistering sun.
Yeah.
All right. So I don't know how to like get around without
talking about the movie.
We just got to jump right in where, like...
All right, so listeners, this is your opportunity to bail out and go see the movie, come back, and join us right here.
Which is all our episodes. Every single 200 of wherever the hell we're at now. But okay.
I think we're at 200.
And
oh, shit.
Welcome back.
All right. Go ahead.
Okay, so our character, first we get these scenes of her. She has an autistic son, and we have scenes of her. He is painting. She's out doing house chores, and we see her, like, cleaning up paint. Like, you know, it's kind of like time jumping a little bit.
Yeah, but it's a very fragmented, like, yeah, because you can't even tell, like, did this happen before that? She's yelling at them, and they're okay. Like, what the
But fuck? They do a good job at like, making it seem like, well, this is a stressed-out mother dealing with an autistic child, so that's why we're fragmenting our time, because, like, oh, this is just the stress that she bounces from this to this. But, like, right away, I'm like, she's fucking crazy! Like, I don't know why, but just right there, from the time jumps, I don't know why, that just gave it away. Me, just because, well, she's dealing with an autistic child, and, you know, the stress is gonna make her kill everybody.
Well, it gave away that it was a movie that involved time, or just
I think Triangle does that. I don't know why. I mean, it could be about Illuminati, it could be about, but just like, oh, they're on a sailboat, it's called Triangle.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you call it circle or triangle, right? Like, those are your choices.
Or something like sea storm, or I don't know what the fuck you would call it. Like,
that might be like a disaster movie.
Right. That's what, like, it starts off as, right? It starts off as kind of like, oh, what a lovely day on this boat, you know? But then it's like, have you seen those? Have you ever seen any clouds like that before? And there's like, CG clouds!
Yeah. Well, yeah, the effects are like, they're trying really hard and they're almost there, but they're like, we're too as...
It is 2009, though.
Yeah, it's 2009.
It's 2009.
That's true.
Yeah, but I mean, they're out on the ocean and this giant black electrical cloud, you know, storm formation comes rolling in, and it's always like the final countdown or something. It's always like some kind of, you know, electrical disturbance is your time portal. But I'm wondering, like, you know, having seen the movie, it's like, when what is actually, like, the time loop? It's confined almost to that boat, isn't it? Like the big ship. Sorry, they're on a smaller vessel.
No.
They go through the time thing.
I mean, we'd have to go way deep into the idea that they find... Well, I mean, we'll talk about this a little bit more later, but just the fact that they find multiples of artifacts back on the... So this time loop is happening to this female, you know? Like, specifically, even though that's why it's like they don't even really say Bermuda Triangle, because it's kind of not limited there. This time paradox is just following her, really.
Yeah, well, because she went through the electrical storm, she's the only one who survives it, I suppose, in some way, right?
Maybe. So what they don't, in the movie, like, signify that. It's not like Barry Allen, the Flash, getting, like, struck by lightning and, like, now I'm going to repeat time!
Yeah.
It's just like you're coming out with, like, what? Just your own little, like, how the fuck?
Yeah. Well, it's like, because I'm trying to figure it out, like, in the, you know, in all of these time travel movies that we've watched, it's like there's the moment in which they go back in time, which I guess is what's happening somehow, right? They go through the storm and they go back in time a day, because when she gets off of it at the end, she's at the beginning of the day,
the day she gets on the boat.
So she went back in time, like, when they went through the storm cloud, that's when time reboots, right?
I mean, I guess.
No, the movie has this illogical thing about when you get on the boat, everybody has to die to reboot. It's almost like a fucking Edge of Tomorrow thing.
It is weird.
Well, it could also be when she washes up on shore that it reboots because she was knocked. I don't know.
But it doesn't reboot there because it re... Well, fuck. I don't think it does reboot. It's a loop.
Well, for her, it reboots when she falls asleep on the boat. Like, when she first... Because we see her come to down to the dock and she's all disheveled and they're, like, worried about her, you know, mental well-being, I guess, when her sailing friends, you know, welcome her onto the boat. And so that's all... At the very end of her timeline, right?
Yeah,
and then she goes to sleep for like 4 hours or something like that.
And she thinks it was all a dream or something.
Yeah. It does something to her mind, so when she wakes up, she thinks it's a dream.
But she can't remember it. She said that. She's like, I think I just had a really bad dream. I don't know what it was.
Yeah. And then she starts, so like, because it plays fair. I mean, I've gone through this now a couple of times, but, you know, it's like, it does play fair, because when you're watching it the second time, you're like, okay, you know, I'm seeing this for what it is, that she's coming off of this, or still on this time loop. But it is when she goes to sleep, then she wakes up, and then she constantly has, like, deja vu, which the first time you're watching it, I mean, I'm assuming you guys, when you're watching it, or she's wandering around, and she doesn't really say much as a character through the very first 20 minutes of the movie.
She just says how she
stares off, and she just comes off as, like, you know, ooh, she's sensing, you know, it's like there's something amiss down that hallway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get her total amnesia. Yeah, it's like, oh, or she has amnesia / deja vu. It's like, what the fuck? That's two opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, and also the problem I think that the movie has logically with that is she does go to sleep at least two other times in her timeline. When she gets off the boat, she, you know, at the end of, you know, the ship sequence, she gets knocked unconscious, wakes up on the shore, mm-hmm. and then she sleeps, it looks like, in the cab ride to the harbor.
Mm-hmm. Does she?
Well, she was like, she had her head against the window and her eyes were closed, so
yeah.
I don't know how long that cab ride was, but that was like, because this time around, I'm like, wait a second, isn't she sleeping right now?
She's sleeping again.
But that could be, you know, when she wakes up, she's a little more disoriented. It may be the longer that you sleep, the further the memory evaporates or something.
But
I don't know.
But no, because that's why I don't buy this movie. Is because in the end of this movie, you can see how she's clearly understanding of what she has to redo. Like, surprise, surprise, people. She has to redo this to reclaim her son or whatever. You know, so she's like, no, well, we have to go back on the boat.
That's why she.
That's why I don't buy the character, because she has to. She's supposedly on a constant loop. She doesn't die. You know, she just keeps looping and looping somehow.
The only problem with that is that, I mean, if she's aware when she gets back on the boat the second time, on the sailboat, if she's aware that she has to do this to save her son, she's being very inefficient about it.
Well, I think she goes on there with the intention of going to do it to change what happened in that loop. But then when she falls asleep on the boat again, she forgets. And then the cycle starts again.
When she falls asleep, it resets.
Yeah.
Yeah. She loses her mission at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because she goes on there with the intention of remembering everything that happened.
Yeah.
To save her son. And then she falls asleep again.
That checks out.
The problem I have is that her as a character doesn't work for me. Like, her reasoning for going back to save her son doesn't work for me because of what they show very late in the film is that she's a shitty mother. And that, like, I don't...
Well, she's trying to make up for it, right? It's almost like the guilt, I get that, like...
But...
It's almost like even if she could make up for it, she's still going to have the guilt that she had done it. I mean, that's not even the fucking, like, I mean, that's the goddamn, like, bottom of the, like, the problems with this movie. Like, the problems with this movie is they try to make it a fucking, like, quasi-slasher.
Yeah.
That's like, I have to kill everybody that I came on the boat with to reset it and... And like,
well, but that's the red herring, though, because like in the marketing for this movie, if you look at like the cover, and I mean, you know, it's all about this. There's a figure with a mask on his face and a shotgun, and that's how it looks like a slasher movie, right?
Yeah, and a lot of times it looks like a man underneath that. Like, it doesn't look like.
So the movie sells itself kind of like you've got these people, you know, at first blush, I guess, right? It looks like you've got these people who end up on an ocean liner that may be haunted because it's deserted, a phantom, a ghost ship that appears out of nowhere. They get on there and then they're picked off one by one by a shotgun wielding maniac, right?
Yeah.
How long was that working for you guys? How long were you under that impression? Dude,
it never works. Just like, I mean, I guess I won't say the title of the movie, but there's a similar movie where I can't buy the idea that a character is like, that person's a madman, and then becomes that fucking person.
Yeah.
It's like, duh, they should like realize, like, oh, wait a second.
Especially
if they're aware they're in a time loop.
Right. Well, the maniac thing never worked for me because it was you're kind of getting the clues that things are repeating before the madman even shows up. Like when they come across, I forgot his name already, the guy who gets shot first
Greg?
In the theater, Greg. We come across him. He says, she shot me.
Yeah, they and said, then, you shot him, you right, bitch.
And when one Hemsworth comes in and starts strangling her. Like
Liam, not Chris.
Yeah. Immediately right there, I'm like, well, she did something.
Yeah.
Like something is happening where she did something. Either, at first I thought there was a mental thing where she's not remembering attacking these people.
Right, yeah, but, like she's losing
but
time.
After that, it's just like, oh, something's repeating or something's happening where she's in other places actually doing this to people.
Actually, that makes me think of something that I haven't been able to explain yet, but when they first go into the like the main whatever dining hall of the ship, of the big ship,
they look at the
clock and they're like, what time is it? You know, because the clock shows like 8:20 or something like that.
Yeah, and the guy's watch says it's about 11.
But her watch shows 8:20.
Just with the
how does that work?
Yeah, well, she's with the she was there before, right? She was with the
like her time is with the ship and everything.
Yeah.
Also, the food, which goes nowhere. It's perfectly fine in one moment, and then rotten when they come back a little bit later.
The fucking ghost ship makes no fucking sense. Like, I could buy a time loop somehow, some way, but why is there a ghost ship? Here's the ship to take you on your fucking magical time trippy.
That's also, I think it's another red herring, and I can't explain it either, but the idea that, like, the whole 237, you know, they're showing you 237, like, the whole, like, if you're on this ship, they want you to think that these characters are being, like, mentally, they're being fucked
with. It's The Shining.
It's The Shining.
They're making you think it by putting that number in.
And that's what I thought with the, you know, like, she shot me. I thought it was going to be this whole thing where, like, all the characters are going to be blaming each other because the ship was getting to them.
So it was working. That's what the director, I imagine, intended then.
And like, I thought also, like, the shotgun-wielding, you know, slasher dude, or girl, I thought was like a ghost at first, initially, until, I mean...
He uses like a shotgun?
5 minutes later. using the shotgun.
Well,
yeah.
I think, you know, in some ways, the reason that the slasher misdirection, you know, doesn't work as well as it could is because they don't play up... Like, if it's a slasher movie, there's certain moments that you expect.
Yeah.
The person wandering around in the dark... And the slasher jumping out and killing him at some kind of
violent way. They tried that. The fucking Vincent character had nothing to do but go, hello? Hello? For about fucking, like, 7 minutes. They tried do that.
Heather!
Hello? Hello?
Heather.
You know what I mean? But the actual... Well, I mean, I guess it's the prelude to these scenes. But then you get, like, the character isolated... being chased around or stalked through the hallways. And they didn't really have that because it was always like a character would go off and then you'd follow Melissa George and then she would come back and the shit had already happened. And that's why that's a tip of the hat, I think, to like, okay, this isn't actually a slasher movie. You know, it's like if they would have done a scene or two like that where the bag-headed villain does sneak up on and kill somebody, then it might have had a little bit more.
And all the kills are like instantaneous. Like you're not following him. It's just boom, shotgun. Yeah. They're really good jump scenes.
The birds got me for whatever reason. Like when she goes up to the top and her friend is like crawling through the pile of her, which I think was good.
That was a good scene.
That did fucking shock me. I was like, oh my God, there's like fucking 40 of her.
She's crawling and there's still one of her still moving, like still alive too.
Well, I like how she takes off her sweater because of course, like, you know, this woman's like, you stabbed me or whatever the fuck. But of course, you know, it wasn't her. It was the other her, the third her or whatever the fuck is going on.
Yeah, how many hers?
I think there's three.
Three at one point. I think
the most on the boat at one time is three.
Because she watches one push the other one off.
One is coming on the boat. She is dealing with it, and there's the future her that's in the mask killing. There's three people.
It seems like
even though
maybe
she kills the third one
more.
What?
Well, only because
like, say what?
Well, because they show the scene where she's dealing with the masked guy, right? Or maybe it's just an alternate version. Like in loop number two, out of three, she, instead of the masked person willingly jumping off, she in the second one, she pushes him off.
Right.
And then in the third one, she's on the other side of the jumping off, right? So maybe you're right. Maybe there's only three.
I feel like there's three.
Yeah, because there's the gun-wielding one. Yeah, the one that's getting on the boat, and then the one that is shooting everyone with the shotgun. But then there's that other one that actually saves the couple in the theater. But then...
Well, yeah, you have three Melissa. Okay, so
they
get
stabbed in the bathroom.
You've got the Melissa George that just got off the boat with everybody else, or just got on the boat with everybody else and doesn't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You've got the Melissa George that is aware that we are in some kind of a time loop, and so she's trying to both save people from the crazy maniac that's wandering around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She hasn't figured out who it is yet, mm-hmm. and trying to, like, figure out how to, you know, take advantage of this time, you know, repeating. And then you've got the third one who's finally gone, like,
all dedicated
the only
to the
way
job.
That I can, you know, solve this situation is to kill everyone.
Which is so fucking stupid, right? Like, what logic? I mean, this girl's a class A fucking moron. I mean, because she finds a room where she finds a bunch of scribbled pieces of paper that says, kill them all, like, what is it? What does it say? Stop them from boarding? Or
If they board, kill them all.
Yeah. And so she writes it down and says, oh my God, I did this all these many times. I know, I'll kill them all. It's like, you fucking, I mean, that's the dumbest, like.
I like how she has to write it down to, like, read it. Like, it's a puzzle.
Yeah, the whole thing.
Like, I have to write the whole thing. Oh my God.
It's my handwriting.
It's me. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Well, yeah, and then there's all of her lockets down in the grate, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just don't see why she'd automatically. I mean, because obviously killing them all isn't stopping the looping. So why would she keep telling herself to kill them all?
No, she's not trying to stop the loop. She's trying to reset everything to a point where she can either
stop them from getting on.
I think she's either trying to stop them from getting on or she's trying to get on the boat.
Yes.
Yeah, she's trying. She thinks she's stopping the loop, but she's just doing everything the same way it happened before. She thinks she's trying to prevent it.
Well, at a certain point, she switches over, though, that she wants to continue the loop just so she can either, like you said, stop them from getting on altogether or just jump off and get on the boat and go away. Like, at a certain point, she's trying to do it.
Yeah. I think that's like level two. Yeah, but that's essentially in the grand scheme, is the loop.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
But she's in it, so she doesn't realize it.
Yeah,
that's level three with the hood, because she knows that when she has a shotgun and she has, like, Jess has Jess on the ground and she can pull the trigger, she hesitates and shoots to the side inside because she, you know.
Did you get she shot intentionally to the side or the other Jess? She waited too long and the other Jess, like.
Well,
she would have killed herself, right? That she was working up to do it and then she went.
The first time around, I got the Jess on the ground moved the shotgun. The second time around, it's like she's, you know, for whatever reason, keeping the loop going the same way it was.
I didn't get that. I thought the same thing happened.
But she knows. Why wouldn't she just shoot her, like...
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's the other problem I have with it. Like, she knows what her other self is going to do. Like, she continues to follow the same stuff.
Like, when she first goes and hides in the kitchen, like the Jurassic Park scene,
she should go
in there and just kill her right now. Like,
why doesn't
I don't
she?
Know why she waits. That doesn't make sense.
Because supposedly she doesn't remember, right?
But she already went through all that. Like, the one hunting her is the one who just went through it.
Yeah. I think she hesitated when she's got the shotgun and the Jess on the floor. Like, she remembers at that moment, the reason she hesitates is because she remembers when she was the Jess on the floor and she's like, oh. And then the Jess on the floor jerks the gun. Like, I don't.
But supposedly she's not supposed to remember any of that shit because she's supposed to be like, what am I doing on this boat?
No, but that one, the third one through, it remembers the first time. I mean, because she hasn't slept at all in that period of time. So she remembers being the first Jess.
You think?
And that's she hesitates. Because I think she was going to do it. And then she remembers being on the other side of that shotgun. And that's why she hesitates. And then the Jess on the floor exactly what she did.
Doesn't explain why she doesn't go in the kitchen. She knows she's in the kitchen.
Yeah.
She should have just gone in the kitchen. Why she didn't, I don't know.
I don't think she remembered until she was on the other side of that shotgun. I don't think she remembered everything. I think that was the moment.
Well, it treats it as like a surprise. You know, when Jess number, I don't know, I can't remember, one or two, throws the cog to destroy. It was Jess one throws the cog down the hallway to distract the killer. When you're on the other side of this and Jess is the killer and she sees the cog, she's like, oh, I fucking remember this. And she hightails it to the other side. So it's like it is in her mind playing like, I remember that. I'm going to go over here. So, like, why does she do the exact same things? Why does it always work out?
Yeah, because when she talks to Greg in the theater on the balcony, she's like, I have to kill you, and then I'm going to get down to be before you guys board because I'm going to stop you from getting... Like, as the hooded Jess, she does remember what's going on. Right. I mean, because she just went through it.
Right.
Yeah. She has to kill herself, I guess, is the linchpin. The only everybody time else she can sneak up on and blast... But her, she has to, like, go... And so once she kills herself, it would restart.
Yeah, I can understand her coming to terms or not being able to come to terms with killing herself, just, you know, with the uncertainty of what's happening. But, I mean, she definitely knows what's going on until she gets back to the mainland and gets in the accident. Here's the question. When she is on the boat, there's three of her. What about... Is the fourth one still at home? Who's at home? Who's with the kid at home? And when is that happening?
That's when the logic of this movie goes out the fucking window because...
There's three on the boat, but I guess there would be four total.
Because there'd be one at home, right?
Yeah. Well, there should be fucking multiple car accidents with multiple copies of her with multiple copies of her son. It doesn't make any sense. Right. Like, I don't see why...
car accidents piling up.
I mean, just because you're on a fucking ghost ship that repeats time.
Otherwise, those cops are real idiots. Like, this is the fifth one that's happened today in the same car.
Yeah, because they make a point of showing all the buildups.
Right.
The,
unless they are trying to say she's in hell for being a bad mother. Because they keep referencing the Sisyphus. Name of the ship.
Well, yeah, but he's the father of Sisyphus, and Sisyphus is the Greek guy who had to push the rock up the hill.
Cheated death or... Whatever.
Yeah. I can't remember what he did. I just remember that like he would push the Zeus cursed him and he had to push the fucking rock up the hill and then it rolled back down again and then he would have to push the for eternity because of some sin that he had committed.
Yeah, I studied it. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah,
that's a line from the movie. But you people should know this since you watched it.
So that becomes then the metaphor for the movie. I mean, that's interesting that they wait until. You know, like if they're going with that metaphor, right?
Yeah.
You don't find out what her sin was, why she's being punished, because that's what it almost is. It's like almost then that the whole thing, you know, the cloud is directly focused on her in that, you know, if you read it that way, right?
Yeah.
She's the one who's the bad mother treating her son like a piece of shit. And because of that, she suffers. Well, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, it's because she kills her son, but that happens.
But it's not fair to the viewers. They wait till the end of the film to explain that the mom's a bad mother.
Because
you don't get that at all from
in the
beginning.
No, she just looks stressed out.
Yeah.
That felt like such a left turn to me. Like that, when that happened, that kind of turned me off. I'm like, really? Like that's her character?
Yeah.
From everything we knew before, and we didn't know much about her. Previous to the events that were going on.
But we did know that she was someone who was capable of killing all of her friends with a shotgun. That's maybe that builds that into the character. It's like, well, she was, you know, I don't know. He's saying someone's a bad parent and like, well, it's just a logical step that person would blow their friends away with a shotgun is kind of a leap. But
And the other thing that I always have a problem with these kind of movies, how they go so quickly to acceptance of the situation they're in. Like, nothing like this has ever happened, and you know, in all of humanity,
nothing could prepare you for.
Yeah, like you were just going to shock, and you wouldn't.
Yeah,
but she's like
on the floor crying.
Okay, I got this. I'm going to kill them all.
It's like, if I hear her say, "Don't you see?" It's this one more time.
Don't you see?
Heather,
we're like talking to the audience. Get it? You get it?
I mean, I did kind of appreciate that also because you know, in most time travel movies, it seems like you've got the Doc Brown character who can explain, you know, this is, don't you recognize, this is the phenomenon that's happening and here's how it works, right?
Yeah.
But in this, you don't have Doc Brown. You've just got a person experiencing it and like, I mean, what is the, you know, she's probably not like a science fiction aficionado, so, you know, she's just grasping with the immediate, you know, thing. It's like, somehow I know, the only thing I know that I have to do is get back to my kid. What's funny is that she doesn't remember. She thinks her kid is in school, even though he clearly isn't, right? Because when she wakes up, I guess it's because Greg says your kid's in school, right? And she just kind of goes, I guess he is, because I can't remember where he is. Yeah. So he's actually, the kid's dead at that point. Mm-hmm. And so the, you know, Jess number three wanted to, you know, she just remembers that, like, my mission here is to somehow save my son. The whole thing becomes save the kid. I'm on the boat to save the kid.
Yeah. So the time travel be damned. She, like, she's experiencing these phenomenons that have never happened before, but she knows that she's a mother and she has to get home to her son.
Yeah.
That's the motivation.
God, why does she have to kill everybody? So fucking stupid. It makes zero sense. So like, I know.
Kill herself.
If I kill people, they'll come back. It's like, what the fuck is going on here?
Another question I have is, where are the doubles for, like, Greg and
one, they should all be in the theater. There should be 40 fucking versions in the theater. They showed
and in room 230.
It doesn't follow any of their own logic. No,
they showed her dragging them out.
Not, throwing but them there's two, oh, but the, like boat. Like two, Victor.
No. She throws them overboard.
One, but there's one in room 237, and there's the one that's in the theater goes overboard.
They get shot in the theater.
Yeah, so Greg goes overboard, but the other dude's in room 237. There should be 40 of him.
No, she drags them out.
Not all of them.
She drags the
one.
Well,
what about Victor? Sure. Victor, one of them she killed because he was trying to strangle her, and then the other one, he just died there. Like, it, but where she, is all?
Like, know. Like they.
Yeah.
If there's 40 of Sally, right?
Yeah.
Unless she threw them all overboard, that's what you're saying. You think happened?
Well, because she goes back into room 237 later and writes the note with his blood and then drags him.
I thought she was.
Well, but I thought that was the only one, only body of whatever that character's name was that she threw overboard, and that's the one she sees in the water. I didn't think she dragged the one that was shot in the theater overboard.
Yeah.
I think they show that too, don't they?
No, I think it's him.
I thought they showed her.
I thought they showed both of them.
It's that same guy twice, I think, right? It's
the same. I thought he was in the white suit, Greg in the white suit that was shot in the theater. I thought he was over.
The boyfriend. What is his name? Cope. I don't know what his name is.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever.
The husband.
Whatever her fucking love interest kind of is.
Sally's husband.
No, the other one. Sally's husband. So Sally's husband, there's two of them. One gets shot in the theater and one gets stabbed in the throat in room 237.
Mm-hmm.
The one in room 237.
Still there.
It shows her dragging him into the other room. So when the first versions come into room 237 and see the note on the window, if they would have opened the fucking door, his corpse would have been in the room. But the question we're saying right now is, like, shouldn't there have been 40 corpses?
If she does the same thing every time, because, when she... I mean, that's what doesn't make sense. What, she even fucking hits a bird every day, you know?
That's the one that breaks it for me. Believe it or not, all the shit that happens on the
ship... On the ship? Because that's ghost ship.
Yeah, right.
Hey, we're on ghost ship.
Yeah.
But when you get back home and then now there's 40 birds, and it's like, well, that means there should have been 40 car accidents of the same people... And the fucking morgue would be like, the fuck is going on here?
Yeah. I mean, I get why they did it because of the effect that you have when you're watching it. You're happening now.
Well, because she sees how bad of a mother she is and fucking kills herself. You know, she kills the bad mother version, puts her in the trunk. That way, when there's the car accident, there's her and her son, so she is free to walk off. Why is she fine? Well, she's in hell. That's why she's fine. She's in hell, right?
Because the devil, that walks fine. Up to
she's
her
concussed.
2 seconds later.
Amnesed.
It's the boatman, right? The ferryman? Yeah, I'll give you a ride or whatever, right?
Right, basically.
A cab driver.
He's like, I'm just a driver.
Yeah.
No point saving that boy. Can I take you somewhere?
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, the more I think about it, like, that is. Like, he's dressed all in black. Like, it's death.
Oh, yeah.
It's death taking her back to her hell.
Yeah.
Helping the cycle repeat.
Actually, now that I'm thinking about
it,
right?
I'm okay with that part.
This is even weirder, right? So bear with me here. So in the life of the Melissa George character, she wakes up in the morning. She puts on a dress. Her kid sees something out the window and then spills his paint. She gets all riled up. And then a woman comes in and kills her. She never does get on the boat.
Well, you're saying that's chicken or the egg, right?
Yeah, but it's...
I mean...
No, I'm saying she...
But how... That woman never... That is the Melissa George.
You're saying the first time That's what happened.
Yeah.
But it's did not. Was it ever the first time?
That's the weird that time paradox. I'm saying she's a causality paradox.
But we're not in a paradox. We're in hell.
She never gets to hell.
She gets killed in her house.
No, she is in hell.
Well, yeah, I guess.
I think she killed her autistic son. I'm totally making that up, but that's why she's in hell. She killed her autistic son.
I'll go with that.
Well, see, that's what I thought at first. I thought that's why when she got to the harbor, she was so just like distraught, is because they show her stuffing something in a duffel bag before on her way to the harbor, and I thought she killed her son.
Well, it was her, right? She's stuffing her.
Yeah, but the first time you see it is like she's putting it. What looks like a body. I mean, it's that shot that you get in a movie when somebody's putting a body in the trunk.
Yeah.
You know, so you're like, wait, what the fuck? She got a body in the? Did she kill her kid?
And then I think you're gonna spill that fucking paint again.
But you do see the kid after that, right?
Damn right.
In the back seat of the car.
No, you don't see that. She killed her fucking kid, and she's in hell. Like, no part of this movie is reality. She's in hell this whole movie, just looping, just looping.
That helps. But that helps me. I mean,
yeah, she's in hell.
You have to infer that for yourself, that they don't explain that.
I'll do that.
Well, they do explain it just by the whole, I mean, because they fucking say it three times, right, about the whole, oh, the name of the ship is the father of Sisyphus.
Syphilis.
But I mean, so there you go. That's your like. Right, that's what I mean. She's pushing the rock up.
Yeah,
she's
in hell.
She forfeited her son. She's in hell. Yeah, she's in hell the whole time.
Works for me.
But so, how did she die? Oh, the car accident.
Maybe it was the car accident.
I don't know. I mean,
maybe that's the only real part of the movie.
That's why she comes out clean.
That makes sense. She probably actually did die in a car accident.
Maybe.
Wait.
So what? She's responsible for killing her son because she got in a car accident because she was like, asshole! Fuck!
Your father, he was an asshole too. It's like, Jesus, woman.
He was a fucking...
If you look at it, it's like... If you look at that car accident, it's like it happened the first time. Like, she's angry at her son that causes the accident. Yeah. So her on the road right there is her dead. Her standing there when the driver comes up to her, she's dead.
That would explain why.
She's dead.
Well, at she's,
and then she is in her accident. Own hell. That's where the repeating starts. So the car accident where she kills it is like, that's the start of it all.
Because she's already like, oh, I'm going to be a good mom. I'm a nice mom. Then she's like already snapping on him. Like, it's only blood. Shut up, basically. Yeah. You know, basically.
Yeah.
And then she doesn't see the. She's too busy being like, "Hey, dickhead, shut!" You know that she doesn't see the semi.
Right, like the first time.
So she's responsible for. So maybe she didn't murder her son.
No,
she's
but she was being cruel to him in the car. I didn't think she was when they were driving. She was trying to calm him.
Things are going to be different now. I'm going to be nice, mommy.
But she was trying to calm him, and she drove into oncoming traffic.
That can still be it. But if you think about it, like if you just look at it, like her being mean to the kid.
She was calling him an asshole.
She was already
getting stressed out just by him reacting to the blood. Like, even though she's already like going back on her, like, "Oh, I'm sorry. You know, I'm not that mean mom. I'm the nice mom." But then he's just once again doing the autistic freak out at like the sight of blood, and then she's already losing her patience. She's not mad in that scene. She's already losing her patience with it when it's like the first fucking thing to happen, basically.
And the first time through is her getting mad at the kid. Like, she doesn't kill herself. Like, none of that happens. We'll go first timeline. Go with me on this, because I know you hate this.
All right, okay.
First timeline is everything that plays out. Her being a bad mother, getting mad at the kid, where are they going when they get in the car?
To dump the body.
We don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think it's to dump the body, but they're going... Like, she packs him up. They're going somewhere. The bird thing still happens for the first time.
There's no body in the trunk. They were going sailing with Greg. The kid was supposed to come with. He invited her to come sailing.
Oh. So that's... All right, so that's our first.
Doesn't she say something when they leave the house? I'm sorry, but doesn't she say, like, we don't have to come back here anymore or something? In the beginning of the film, wasn't there something that it was like, we're finally leaving, or we don't have to come back here?
No. I don't know.
Okay,
that's all right, but that's where she dies. Like, that's our first timeline. And then she gets in she hits the bird, throws it over. There's no other birds there this time. It's the first time. She gets, and then she's, you know, like Travis said, she's overreacting, even though she promised she'd be different. Gets in the car accident, dies. And then she's stuck in her hell because she was a bad mother. That's right, Death comes up in the cab, takes her on her little joy trip.
I mean, so listen up, ladies.
I get that. But, I mean, I get that interpretation. Yeah. And I think there's a lot in the movie to bear that out. Mm-hmm. But the literal progression of, because the only reason that she goes to the harbor after that point in the movie is because she knows that it's all going to start over again and I can save my son. So that gives her motivation.
But she always forgets.
I think, you know, if we're talking, you know, not even metaphorically, but the movie is about like someone who's in purgatory and we think that it's, you know, because she's either a bad mother or she is responsible for killing the kid.
Well,
right?
It's both.
And because the driver, Death or whatever we're calling him, he says, he's like, you know, no one can save him now. And that's where she's like, take me to the harbor.
I know how I can bring him back. Yeah. I know where he still is alive. If I go through all this again, I'll find the place where he's alive.
But she's always going to forget.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but she didn't know that then. If she had known that, she would forget, which you think that she would, because she's like, well, I woke up this morning and don't remember.
So it is kind of...
Or I woke up on the boat and I don't remember.
It's a little bit of Groundhog Day rules, right? I mean, when you fall asleep, it resets.
Kind of, but the doubles of stuff doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Well, I don't...
Disproves that.
Yeah, the doubles thing is fucking weird.
But the idea that she can't remember when she sleeps, I guess, is...
Yeah, I would be okay if the doubles were just on the boat, but the birds thing.
Right.
That's why I'm going with hell.
That's why I go with hell.
Because it has to, yeah, it's a non-dimensional thing. It's not just, the whole, like, ghost boat is just to throw you off or whatever. Stupid.
Yeah, it's a boat from, like, the 1930s. Yeah. It's not like they, as far as I know, didn't pick a boat out of history that, you know, sunk or something.
Sure.
And so it's like, you know, an actual ghost boat that went missing. It's like they made it up for the movie. So it's this goat, this boat from the 1930s.
Goat boat.
And it's like still got the 1930s gramophone, you know, or record player.
Oh, and it was repeating. Subtle.
Well, it's stuck. So she takes the needle and takes it back, like, whatever, to the beginning of the track.
Yeah.
That's what Brent said.
And then the editor starts doing it.
Please do cha-cha more. Like, every episode I want cha-cha.
That's the only time the editor does that, which is kind of strange. And that the boat also, I guess, would be the only reason why it would be reinforcing the Bermuda Triangle theory or idea.
It's just to throw you off.
They're there.
Yeah, the editing gets a little choppy, I think, because she at that point she is hearing her friends again. She's like, oh my God, this is happening again. And so mentally she's like, it's fracturing. She's looking at herself in the mirror. It's fractured. She goes into another room and there's three of her in the,
mirror.
Oh, yeah. Good call. I didn't even think about that. The three in the mirror. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
I thought I was going somewhere with that.
So like, did they.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, it just, yeah.
All right. So the other question then is, I guess, that we have to deal with because it's, I think, legitimate. How well do you buy the idea that she resorts to murder? I mean, she becomes a hooded serial killer or whatever.
Well, if you buy into the idea, which she does pretty quick, the idea that the only way to save these people is to kill them so it can reset, I guess. I mean, then you're not thinking it's murder. You're thinking you're just resetting like a video game.
Where did she
like,
first come up with that? I mean, so fucking stupid.
She saw them all die, and then they came back.
But the idea is planted by the first bag-headed her that she sees that says, you have to kill them all.
First bag-headed her.
Right? And then the second thing is when she realizes that the Sally dies, that's when, and like, immediately the boat shows up. She's like, oh, my God, it's when they all die. That's when it resets.
Yeah.
But why? Okay. That's my point. That's why this makes no fucking sense. She knows if you kill them all, it resets. Well, but like her point is not to keep resetting. Her point is to somehow like get off of it, right? Like to make it end.
She's trying to prevent them from getting on the boat in the first place. But then she's got the bag over her head. At this point, she's the third Jess. And then first Jess comes in and fucks that up and throws her off the boat before she can tell them not to get on. Or second Jess, I guess it would be. Because it's after they all die the first time.
Yeah, it's kind of a catch-22. It's like you're trying to do the right thing, but your other yous are catching on quicker than you can do the right thing, and they're stopping you from doing
they're hindering.
It. They're throwing shotguns at you.
Yeah, that was so ridiculous. Sorry. But yeah, she thinks that's her whole point when she's got the bag over her head is to kill everybody and prevent the new batch from getting on the boat. But then... I guess it would be just two because it's after they all die the first time.
She comes up with the same head. Plan. I think maybe she thinks it's an inevitability or something. At what point is it where she's like, "Fuck it, I got to put the goddamn bag on my head." It seems like I remember the scene. She's standing up at the top of the topmost balcony, and below her she sees
her son.
The one who just threw the bag head over, and then beyond that she sees the boat coming in.
Yeah.
And she's like, "They all have to die."
Yeah. They just all have to die, and she has to get there to the boarding point before they get on. But the thing is she still has to at least kill herself.
All she had to do was kill herself.
Yeah, before they board. Just kill herself and be like, "All right, guys, let's stay on the overturned sailboat."
Well, maybe if she would have just killed herself that threw over the bag-headed one.
Yeah.
She didn't have a shotgun then. Because she was with
a shotgun to kill somebody.
That's where she has the idea.
There's no rules there.
So yeah, that's what she's thinking. Like, if I can kill everybody here before they get on board,
then stop them.
From
getting on board somehow.
And stop them from getting on board. But there's still going to be two of her, so she has to either off herself or kill the other one on the boat.
So is that?
Yeah, that's why it's like two fucking different movies.
That would mean that there's only two of her, right? Mm-hmm. On the boat at a time and not three.
No, well, the third one is the one getting on the boat.
Oh, okay.
As it resets.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a mind.
So, yeah,
it's a mind bender. It really
a
is.
A film to enjoy and to puzzle over.
I'm curious how you go about writing something like this.
Terror comes in waves.
Yeah. Lots of...
what happens really quickly, though? I mean,
cards.
Right.
No, but I mean,
everything's very quick.
But when you're writing it,
I was just saying we're not seeing anything for the first time. All it is like, that's why I don't think it is really deep writing. It's just like, you show up and they're like, you did it. And you're like, what? I didn't fucking do shit.
Yeah, but you have to know what the multiple versions are doing, off screen. Because I guess
But they're all doing what your main focus, the girl arriving, they're all doing what she's doing. And then the guy is just putting the writers are just putting her in that place that she needs to be. That's why, like, not a lot of exciting things happen in this. Because they just like, we got to get her on the balcony of the theater. We got to get her, fighting herself. It's just repeating. I mean, just like Groundhog Day, we're repeating like five scenes over and over again,
Yeah, but you're seeing like a different perspective on him. I guess that's where
different camera angle, but the same thing happens. That guy still gets pushed into the board thing in the head. I mean, you see the same shit happen over and over again.
Yeah, but I guess what I'm, it's butting. Like the moment where you're talking about, like, we know we have to get her up to the balcony, but, but it's like, but how did we know that's where she was going to be, right? I mean, like, that it was going to take place there. It's almost like you had to know somehow the second timeline how she was going to meet up with one of the characters or whatever, in order to know what was going on. I guess it's like, man.
Well, she just wanders around doing nothing.
I guess, right? I mean, on a wall, and you're just kind of like,
yeah.
Maybe if
I... Right, his timeline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to work it out. You have an idea. You have... And you just work it out.
Because most of you don't see or nothing. He had to actually write the scenes. He just had to know.
Like, yeah, but he had to know what they were. Well, I guess you see it from the other side going through on, like, I guess that's where, my first time going through it, it was like, you figure it's a time loop. So, like, time's going to loop. But then by the time a third variation comes around, you're like, whoa, what the fuck is going on here? It's like, it's getting, it's bigger now than like what I was originally thinking that it was going to be.
Bigger now. Yeah. And, but if you know the big picture and, I mean, I guess either you have to have this idea, that you've worked out over the years with color coded timelines and shit, But like, you know, as the architect of the story, how it's going to play out. And so like these moments that you just have to be confident that your story is going to explain like these what the fuck moments, because like halfway into this film, I'm like, they're not going to be able to explain this. This is just too out there. And then like they do, you know, I mean, they at least to an extent, they bring it around.
I think it's all, it's almost like the remake slash prequel to The Thing, right? Yeah. They're like, oh man, this axe ends up here. I mean, they, all they did was like place things where they knew they needed to be beforehand. I mean, it's not like, because that's where I'm still coming up with, like, where the fuck did they come up with killing everybody? You know, it's like, it's, what a fucking, like, I don't know, just dumb.
Yeah, you
it's
almost
a dumb idea. What a waste of time. It's just something to do for the whole movie.
It's almost like
figuring out shit.
Yeah, like you have this idea, or it was a dream or something, and you reverse engineer it to how it'll work. To tell you
yeah.
a story.
I mean, same thing. I mean, that's why the three fucking Star Wars prequels suck, right? It's because all they're doing is like,
you gotta make him Darth Vader.
All right, this is where he's at by this time. So, okay, dot, 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 dot. We say a few of these things, so we'll just take that and do a
we
little.
We mentioned the Clone Wars once. Let's do that.
Yeah, so obviously that takes place there. And like I said, he was, you know, or whatever. I don't know. I just don't think it's that, like.
Well, I guess what's cool about it is that somehow in even though you're doing the same thing three times, basically, I mean, you're watching like the same, what, 20 minutes?
Yeah.
Three times over in this movie from three different perspectives.
Yeah.
Felt like it.
Yeah, it did okay, feel so like did it. That's so what I'm saying.
At a certain point, it felt like, oh, okay.
Which really does
not a lot happen.
Especially when they kept when she kept doing it. You're like, shouldn't she be doing something different?
Well, I like that moment that you were like, why wouldn't she just go out there right now? And she did.
Right.
And it was like, what the fuck?
That kind of got me. I'm just like, oh, she did. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
She confronts herself. Back in a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, right when you were like, because I'm like, okay, that shows that like there's some kind of, you know, like they workshop this thing.
Yes.
Right?
I'll give them credit for that because they did it right when I was like, shouldn't she just do it? And she did.
Yeah. Well, another thing too, like with these, like with Victor walking around however many times with blood dripping from his head, like wouldn't there just be blood everywhere by that point?
Because it apparently sticks around.
Well, the problem is the only thing they had to show that it's repeating are the multiple fucking bodies. It's like, that's the problem with the stories. They had to show these multiple bodies to tell people.
It was a cool idea. It was a cool scene, but you have to do it with everybody then. That's what I have a problem
with. Yeah, if you're
going
to stick to the whole idea that, like, there's 40 bodies of all four people on this boat.
And maybe, I mean,
and yeah, the dripping blood trail should be duplicated. I mean, everything physically should be duplicated.
Like,
there should be no more apples for some of these fucking guys to pick up and eat because it's like, where's all the apples?
I thought that the blood on the railing, like, started to get more and more, like, more and more blood started to stay on the railing, blood. But not when he's, like, walking around through the corridors
and
the dripping from the back of his
head.
The
deleted scene maybe is her running around with a mop.
Maybe. Mm.
And wouldn't there be wouldn't there already be blood on the hook that goes in his head?
Yeah.
Yeah, that too.
When she pushes him.
Yeah,
but
I didn't think about that.
In all fairness, do we see it happen again? I know we see him, like, at a point where it's in his head. But
yeah.
Do we ever see it
before?
I don't think we do.
Just different angles.
Well, you see it like
never before
when we think it happens the first time, but then the second time she's watching it happen, she could have stopped it because she was down on the bottom. Yeah. She watched herself push him into the hook again.
Maybe they didn't show the blood on the hook.
True. Yeah, but at that point, because there were so many different Sallys, it should have happened at least 30 other times.
That's what you'd think, right? I mean, but it is rust colored. You never really.
Maybe it wasn't rust.
Yeah.
There you go.
But also, like Sean bringing up the point about the interjecting into like changing the timeline at some point. Like, so as far as we know, there's at least 40 Sallys. So that means that Victor dies at least 40 times, and Sally dies, and Greg dies at least 40 times, right?
And whatever Sally's husband's name is. Poor Heather.
Drowns every time.
So not Greg, but what's Sally's husband's name?
Sally's husband. It starts
with
C.
Sally's husband.
Chaz.
Comey.
But,
something.
Like, with the whole, I mean, the whole 237 thing in the room, like, who's to say that, like, that wasn't the first time that happened, or that the car crash wasn't the first time that happened? That would at least explain why there wasn't, like, you know, 40 of them because she is changing things.
But without the car crash,
40 birds right before it.
Yeah. Without the car crash, there's no reason for her to get on the boat. Because I was listening to you guys. You're sitting there trying to work out where this movie's going to end.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, it's going to end right here. So it's going to end. This is going to happen. Like, no, but we have to somehow get her back on the boat. Then there's a car crash and she's like, I can fix this by getting back on the boat. It's like, oh.
And without the body in 237, she's not going to have the blood to write on the mirror.
Right, right.
Yeah. Without, yeah, that's true. That's very true.
But well, aren't there two bodies? Who keeps cleaning the blood off the mirror?
It's steam. It's the steam that cleans it off.
Are there two bodies in
237? Like, one scene.
Immaculately clean?
No, it just runs off.
Yeah, but it's immaculately clean by the time she's picking it. I'm nitpicking at that, but I get that.
But, right.
So Brent's asking if there are two bodies in 237. What do you mean now? Because she stabs two people, but once Sally gets out.
Sally goes on the upper deck.
Yeah. Deuter, whose name begins with a C.
Yeah, Deuter. But Deuter only dies once in there?
Yeah, and then the other time he gets shot in the theater along with Sally.
In the different one.
So there's
I swear he drags him out of that room.
Well, see, I remember her dragging him.
Or she drags him out.
I remember her dragging him.
She's thrown him over the boat.
She drags him into the bedroom. I don't remember if he closed.
No, I thought she dragged him out of the bedroom in off like overboard. I saw her.
Well, that's the only way it makes sense, right? If she throws everybody overboard,
she does. Yeah. She throws him out of the room.
Out of the room, but does she throw his body from the theater? I don't see her throw his body from the theater. I see her pull Greg out of the theater.
Well, let's say they're just telescoping time through editing. So does it play better if she is? That's what she's doing. She's thrown Greg, Liam Hemsworth, and the husband. All of them went over the side.
It prevents us from nitpicking and
Yeah,
looking for holes in this whole plot.
It cleans it up a lot.
Right, and they show it, like, as long as they show it once, I think they're hoping you can be like, this is what she does every
time.
Yeah.
So they show it complete once, him being thrown off the side.
Yeah, except for Sally. The way that when Sally dies, she never dies in exactly the same place.
Right? Mm.
There's just slight deviations. Right,
she died in one place, and the next time she's like, oh, I don't want to be near myself when I die. Mm. Yeah. And then she keeps going all over the top.
I wish it was just a short film.
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking. Like, it would be a really good, like, Tales from the Crypt or something.
It'd be fucking scary.
Yeah.
Just her crawling amongst her own dead bodies. That's
a cool idea.
Just end it right there.
Right?
That's and pretty fucked
see
up.
See the boat show up again and be like, right. It resets. And then, like,
fucking
credits.
Boat.
Right. Yeah, you just squish everything down.
Yeah.
The main character.
I'm gonna get rid of this boat.
Up at the top with all her other multiple cells.
There's no reason for a boat in this movie.
Except the whole thing. That's probably the triangle.
Takes place
on a boat.
It's just to throw you off. It could have taken place anywhere. You could have looped anywhere. You don't need to do it on a... It's just to throw you off a, you know...
I thought they were going to find Heather. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, what the fuck?
Heather!
Where's Heather?
They look so hard.
40 Heathers.
Heather didn't make it into the loop.
What? Yeah, like, did she not die? She's like someone that died and got, like, brought back. Like, why am I in hell?
She drowns every time when in the storm.
Well, yeah.
But I liked, you know, I mean, like, you know, we were sitting there kind of mocking the, you know, Heather, oh, maybe she's on the ship. It's like, no, you're just in shock. There's no way she made it. She's dead. But, you know, to them, I guess that's, you know, with the only evidence that you have at hand, there's blood on the ship. There's, you know, somebody else has been here with Jess's car keys.
Yeah.
You know.
But you saw the fucking goddamn, ocean liner, like, come from the distance. Like, how did Heather, like...
She got carried away by the storm, and it came right past her, and she grabbed her.
Thin.
Maybe.
Well, thin, but, I mean, I suppose...
Yeah, right, very thin.
If you're in a desperate situation like that, that could be... I mean, you're trying to make sense of where did the fucking keys come from.
Yeah. The keys are the reason why Heather's in the movie.
Yeah.
That's it, right? I mean, what else is there? I was trying to figure that out. I'm like,
right, why is
what's the point of this character?
That's another weird thing. It's like, okay, so she doesn't have keys on her.
They drop.
Until, like, where does she... She never gets the keys until she gets them from herself, right?
Wait, do we see the version where she drops the keys?
Yes.
Yeah. It's the second timeline.
But she got the keys from when they were dropped in the hallway.
Yeah.
Like, we do not know where the original key. I mean, the, as far as I fucking know,
because the
key
going through,
should be back at the car accident. You know.
Well, and that's like it's the same thing, chicken and the egg. Who's it's the right, who's the girl looking in the window?
The keys out of the car and put them in her pocket before she went to the fucking boat.
Yeah. Should we wrap this shit up? We got like a half an hour left.
All right, so
right.
Yeah. All right, so what we're gonna do is we're gonna wrap this up with our final thoughts, listener. If you stick around, each one of us is gonna get a chance in turn. But before that, we've got Igor's mailbag. Whoa. Igor, welcome aboard our show.
Masters, the mail. I've got the mail. So many letters. Our followers are rising.
All right, so if you want to get a hold of us and appear in Igor's mailbag, all you have to do is reach out to us on Facebook. We're Saturday Night Freak Show on Facebook. You can find us. We're easy. And on Twitter.
Read anything.
At Sat Freak Show on Twitter. Longtime listener Dom Cree writes to us about last week's published episode, The Beach. Sorry, last week's published episode was... Yeah, whatever. 2 weeks ago, writes to us about The Beach. He says he couldn't care less about a DiCaprio movie, but this was another Saturday Night Freak Show classic soundbite gold.
Really was.
It was a pretty good
one. I'm so glad to hear from Dom again.
And
Hi, Dom.
Thank you, Dom. And Nick Hammond writes about Triangle that he says the cover of the movie... makes it look like a Netflix, direct-to-Netflix movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
is it? I thought it was.
Look at the axe.
a sci-fi original.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. So now we're going to find out if it lives up to that lowbrow moniker. Mm-hmm. Like, what was it? Raiders of the Lost City. Oh, it was anyway. Mm-hmm. So, Brent, you're up first.
This movie is right in my wheelhouse. I don't know if you listeners know, but I'm a big fan of time travel, and it definitely has that. I enjoyed watching it, but you know, once after seeing it, I feel a little bit robbed because I feel like what Travis will probably talk more at length about, but I think that they're not following the rules that they set in place throughout the film, like Travis said while we were watching it, wants to have its cake and eat it too. This is a movie that takes a lot of liberties with the same rules that they set up, you know, like with the dead bodies and then like in the blood and the evidence. Like there's a lot of evidence of time travel, but only when it's convenient to the story. And like it's cleaned up when it's not convenient to the story. And for me, that's, you know, I mean, when you're dealing with a movie where like they are, you know, it's creating these paradoxes that can't be explained. And like, that's, for me, that's kind of a deal breaker. I mean, because I feel cheated when I'm watching it. It was intriguing. I think it may have gotten a little bit too complicated for its own good. But like it was as for a time travel idea, I think it's a good one. I just don't know if the execution was all there. I think that they cut corners when they really, you know, I mean, cause that's why we're here debating it so much tonight, because there's really not an answer for like these things that we saw. They don't explain it in the film. And it's not one of those things where like, it's there. The director just didn't like force feed it to you. It's like it's not there. So you like you can't explain it. So you know, I mean, if you're a fan of time travel movies, I'm not gonna do any like. If you're a fan of time travel movies, okay, I'll do it. If you're a fan of time travel movies, you should check this out. By the way, Travis, thank you for not talking about Time Crimes?
You saw it.
Are you still going to?
He wasn't. Now you reminded him.
Damn it.
No, I'm just saying. You saw it.
Yeah.
Sister.
I saw it. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would say watch. Just watch it. But you're going to have problems with it. Watch it. Watch it.
Huh.
It's an interesting movie.
I liked there's some good elements to this movie. I accept it more if I go with the she's in it's, you know, it's purgatory or it's hell for her. Like that allows me to kind of gloss over
any, no rules, right?
Right. It helps with the no rules. Because if it's not that, then the filmmakers aren't sticking to their rules that they have decided for this movie. So either they're just, you know, making the rules and then breaking them in ways that don't necessarily make sense, or she is in hell, which, I mean, they allude to a lot in this movie, especially with the story of, you know, pushing the rock uphill and just the little hints of everything. That works better for me, especially with the cab driver. I keep coming back to the cab driver because if they're in hell, like, I actually like that part more if it's like death coming up to her and taking her away to, you know, restart kind of the whole process. I like that idea of this movie. So that's the one I'm going to go with. There were cool elements of this movie, like when what's her name? I keep forgetting. When she goes up to die, and she's surrounded by the other 40 versions of herself,
Sally.
Like Sally. That's a cool visual. I like that idea of it. Like we said, like the whole having to kill everyone to reset everything. I mean, it feels like they wanted to get a bunch of people together and like, all right, in order for it to be interesting, these people have to die. Let's go back from that. What do we need to do? And then the story kind of filled into that. That's kind of what it feels like happened here. It kind of feels like they wanted certain things and they had to backtrack to get to them. I don't know. I don't think I can recommend this movie. I found some parts interesting and I like the whole hell idea, but I don't think I can necessarily recommend it. Sorry.
All right. So, I did enjoy this movie, at least, you know, I enjoyed it a lot the first time through it. You know, now I think I'm on my third, and now it's like...
Third timeline?
I'm on my third timeline.
Are you killing people now? Is that where you're at?
Well, it's just, you know, it's one of those things like, on the third go-through, you're very familiar with it. Like, the second one, you're kind of, you know, looking at it to make sure that, you know, stuff checks out, and you're like, whatever. And by the third time through, that first, like, 30, 40 minutes are rough. You know, this time I was extremely aware of, like, oh, God, they're like, you know, because the setup is so trying to make you think that this is a horror movie. And I think maybe that's where you've got, like, this kind of, I think Sean's right. I think the guy thought in terms of a horror movie with a guy running around shooting people, right? In a mask, the slasher character. And like, we can make it seem like a slasher movie and then like expand it and like it's a science fiction movie, right? Beyond that. And it's like those two genres in this don't quite mesh correctly. So it's like, that's what it feels like, how the story maybe evolved. Because I agree. I think the, you know, the whole idea of you got to murder people to reset the timeline is like just kind of like that was that. I think that was the idea, you know, in order to have the slasher, we have to, you know, have people getting killed and being killed resets time. I appreciate the, you know, like, I guess, you know, that there's somebody trying to do something different and trying to spin this thing out. I mean, you know, I'm saying this knowing that Travis is sitting right next to me. He's gonna, you know, I can hear him in my head like, oh, but it was done in this other movie. I'm like, okay, maybe I hadn't seen this other movie at the period in time when I saw this, or they were like, you know, in and around the same area or something like that. But it did strike me as like, huh, this is actually kind of newish. It was like, as the sensation I had while watching, it was like, you know, okay, what are we doing here? Is this like a ghost thing? Blah, blah, blah. Then it like becomes a time trap, you know, like a time loop movie. What am I trying to think of other than that movie? You know, like where the participants realize that they're stuck in the past.
And Groundhog Day.
Or, yeah, Groundhog. But I'm thinking like there was a X-Files episode called Triangle that took place on, I think, the Queen Mary.
Really?
Yeah, it takes place on a boat and multiple timelines are happening at once.
Before
the final countdown like takes place on a...
Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah. You know, so I guess by the time we got to the third iteration, I was even more interested. So it was like a movie that picked up steam as it went. I got more interested as it unfolded. And by the time it wrapped around at the end, I'm like, that was really clever. You know, I mean, I felt manipulated in a way that was like, this is a clever little time travel story. But I don't know that it's a time travel story for people who are time travel story aficionados, because as evidenced by this conversation we've had tonight, we sit around and we're trying to pull at all the strings, like, does it check out? And I don't think that the guy could solve some of the logic puzzles that he set for himself, right? I've actually seen this done better. This type of looping story where it turns out like there's multiple versions happening on a recent episode of Doctor Who. Really well done. But the guy who runs that show, like, he writes in these puzzle type things and has a better grasp on that, if that makes any sense. The mechanism of a puzzle and how everything checks out, and like there's these reveals and twists and you're like, oh my God, and it works better.
Wasn't there an episode of Fringe that kind of did this too? White Tulip with what's his name? RoboCop.
Peter Weller.
Peter Weller was in it. He's like a human time travel machine.
I don't think I saw it.
Oh, but see, maybe it's good.
Maybe. So, yeah, I think its ambition I appreciate, but it outstrips its. I think it's a movie for if you're going into it thinking that it's a decent thriller, it is. And it'll carry you through. If you sit there and tear it apart like we're doing, and I like doing this, but this movie doesn't bear that kind of scrutiny. It falls apart under it, unfortunately. But I still think the experience of watching it the first time, which you listener hopefully already have had this experience, is a good one, and I would recommend it.
Number one, ghost ships bore the fuck out of me. Anything that's haunted where it's just like, it's a long corridor. The one thing this movie has is some pretty good sound design. You know, it's got some pretty decent sound design, you know.
You're in the bowels of the ship, really.
Yeah, if you got surround sound or whatever the hell,
five. Yeah, that storm coming up.
Well, I was thinking about when... the dudes walk, Vincent, where the fuck his name is, hello? Hello? Hello?
Heather?
Hello?
Heather?
Hello? Well, you hear there's like a,
the other movie
there's like a air was. Conditioning, that's like, Jason,
is it? You're creepies or?
What? Spookies?
Spookies. Isn't that all hellos?
That's just a lot of horror movie. That's how you kill fucking 15 minutes in a horror movie. Yeah. Hello? Who's there? Say your name.
Friday 7.
Jason. Yeah. Hello?
Jim. George.
Jimmy.
The worst defender.
Joan.
Hello?
Jeannie.
So there's some good sound design for like a walking around an abandoned, but like as soon as you get to an abandoned place, it's like, dude, you got to fucking do something. You got to move the story along. And like, I don't know, it just took them forever. The whole, and I don't know, things were just too easy to catch on to. Like the chick's like deja vu. It's like, well, I fucking wonder what, you know, she's been here before. As soon as I saw the mat, I'm like, oh, that's her.
Well, did you?
Well, because like we said, you see a scene of a person shot and they're like, you did it. And then you see a masked person. It's like, well, it's her.
Right.
Did anyone else think it like when they say, oh, someone's on the boat when they first come up to it, when we're first approaching the big boat for the first time, think that it looked like Melissa George? I did.
I didn't even see the person.
Well, that's the thing.
I'm like looking around at the windows. Like,
when they
do
that, you're just like, all right, that's got to be something.
I thought it was an old timey 1920s guy, like a sailor.
I was like, are they in the windows or the side of the thing? I couldn't see him.
Until that last like second, I didn't even see anybody. I'm like, what the fuck are they looking at?
Well, until they did it the second time around.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's when, you know, I guess it's. Like, this could have been a good fucking, like, just hour-long thing or maybe a 45-minute thing, because I do like a looping type of story. I like how, you know, they get a distress call at the beginning of the movie, like, as the storm is starting to come around. And then, of course, we get later in the movie where the chick is actually making the distress call. You know, I like shit like that. It's like, ooh.
Yep.
And I do have to say, and like, as much as I do fucking hate this movie, I was like, I mean, I was absolutely shocked to see that chick like start crawling around her own dead bodies. Yeah. I was like, that's fucked. I mean, it shocked me. I mean, and it's nice to like see something that will shock you. Nice, but that's all this movie has is that fucking like, that like 2 minutes of her crawling around her dead bodies. I was like, oh my God. Like, it should have, yeah, it should have been a Twilight Zone. It ended right there. Like, they've been doing this forever. You know, without like a need to explain it or something like that. But yeah, I just like, actually, fuck, there is a Twilight Zone episode where a chick go, a lady is in a train station. And there's like a duplicate of her that's like has already like checked in for the ticket and shit. Like, and like the lady gets all rude, like, you've already asked me, and like, what are you talking about? I'm so Twilight Zone. And I do like the Nisbet.
Oh yes.
So I do. I mean, and I like the purgatory thing. I think that's a. But I just don't think they need to. This movie tries to throw you off the scent way too much. You got Ghost Ship. You got Baghead Killer. You got fucking. Like, it just, it's, and it doesn't work. That's the problem. It tries to throw you off the, like, what's this movie about? It's like, you tell me, motherfucker. I ain't got time to, like, too much of it's fake. That's why I'm like, ah, this could have been, like, 40 minutes to a half an hour of a good, like, weird purgatory time travel story. I mean, I like how it's supposedly time travel but turns into purgatory. I mean, because once again, yeah, that's my version. It's purgatory. It has to be. Yeah. Or else they wouldn't have mentioned it three fucking times. Like, you know, I mean, that's just drilling exposition into your fucking head of like, this is what's going on.
Go Ship Baghead Killer.
And if you are going to go like, like slasher, make it a fucking slasher. What's this shotgun bullshit? What's this like, if you're going to try to make it a slasher, make it a slasher. I mean, when she cut the dude's throat, that wasn't too bad. You know, that was all right. And like, or even the accidental, like, pushing of the guy and his head hitting the whatever. That's kind of fun.
Something could happen too easy.
Yeah. But that makes more sense of her just like, I'm going to kill everybody. It makes more sense, like, if someone died on accident.
Yeah.
It's almost like if he would have just shown up again by himself. Like, not like they all have to show up as a group. Like, if she would have killed him and then he would have just popped back up again. Like, I don't know. I mean.
Yeah.
But. Like, yeah, still the whole thing doesn't make sense about the whole, if we kill them, they loop back, because obviously that's not true. She will, well, it's not true, because she, no matter what, always gets pushed overboard, gets washed up ashore, and comes back with them. But it's, so it's not fucking every time you get, you kill somebody. That's why, I mean, there's all those fucking notes. I don't know. I mean, yeah, whatever. Just the idea that she has to have amnesia. I just hate movies where you gotta, like, it's like, wait to see what it's about. Hey, what are you writing? Just wait. It's going to be special. It's going to mean a lot. She then finds an axe and run. It's just like fucking shit. Like, they need something for this movie to be about, so they make it a slasher thing that I'm following in the footsteps of the first movie, just like Back to the Future 2 or something like that, right?
Oh
yeah, that's right.
You said it.
And yeah, I have seen the whole like time travel type movie where it's just like, someone's killing somebody, then I turn out to be the killer. I'm like, what the fuck sense does this make? Shouldn't you be able to look at it from a, you know, I don't know, you should, if you know what the killer's wearing, killing people, then you get in that outfit, you should be like, the fuck am I doing? Or you should just realize, like, oh my God, I was that dude. Like, that should, like, stop it right there. I don't see why these characters, like, continue to play it out.
Yeah.
Fucking so stupid. It doesn't make any sense. So, yeah, I fucking don't recommend this movie. Like I said, it was awesome for, I mean, I will always give a something its props for shocking me. But, happened once.
All right. So I have one question before I start my wrap up. So if she had succeeded in stopping the group from getting on the boat in the first place, if she hadn't gotten pushed overboard, what would her game plan be after that?
They all die at sea.
They all die at sea.
They all die at
sea. Or just, yeah, sit on the boat and wait for...
Well, they have to be close enough to the shore that she washes up on the shore, you know, however, in the daytime, so many hours later, yeah, right after she goes overboard.
She says, like, she's killing these people. She's like, I'm sorry. I love my son. Like, when she stabs those people in 237, she's like, I'm sorry. I love my son.
You need
like,
to understand
what is her whole, like.
Right. And then when she's a shitty mother, that's a left turn for me that it's just like, what?
She doesn't remember she's a shitty mother. Well,
I think she realizes. I know, but still.
Yeah, I think she realizes, like, she has, was taking it for granted, and she has something to live for.
And she, yeah, because she's the Jess from the one that kills the shitty mother. She's that Jess.
Yeah, she's that Jess. That's why she kills herself in the first place when she goes back home. But if, I'm just wondering what her game plan would be, because she wants to get home. What would her game plan be if she prevented them from getting on the boat? What the fuck is she going to do? Say, hey, can I come with you? I know I'm already there, but can I come too?
Well, I think
I gotta go home too.
Yeah, I think it's kill that Jess and then hop on the boat, and then it'd be weird until they come into shore.
Okay.
Because one of them has to die.
If I was her, I would have just waited until everybody got off, jumped on the fucking boat, and gone off with it.
Maybe she would have just offed herself and let the Jess that's on the boat.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know. I was just thinking about that. I'm just curious.
One of the many problems with the
film. Yeah, well.
There should be ghost boats in hell.
Ghost boats in hell! 2016 Freak Show.
Okay.
Nailed it.
So, this movie, I think it's a good idea. I think it had potential, but because it has so many plot holes that aren't, like, they're major ones. It's not us even, like, nitpicking that bad. Like, there's no explanation for them. Like, if there is ever any question about Back to the Future, Brent has a logical explanation on hand at all times. Even when we did Primer, that's a mind fuck of a movie too. You could explain it. There was some sort of logical explanation. You know, like, there's other mind fuck movies that have been on this podcast. This one, I think it was a good idea, but it just, I think you said, Brent, that I don't know about the whole purgatory thing, but I mean, that's fine if that's how you guys feel. I just think the director got lazy and cut corners and was just, I don't know.
No commentary. We'll never know.
I know.
Yeah, well, because, the guy's not going to talk about
He's like, no,
yeah, I don't know.
You're taking for what it is. Buy it.
Yeah, I mean, it's overwhelming, I think, to a director. I mean, you almost have a perfect film.
Yeah.
And then, like, with these major problems in it. And that's why, like, if anybody could do it, they would do it. But it's missing, like, those key things, those key moments that would explain it.
Yeah, I just, that's what I have. I just, all these different things that don't make sense and you can't explain. Like Sean and Travis are searching for something, and they found something cool.
No, there's three scenes of exposition that say we're in hell.
Okay. Right, there is. There is stuff in the movie that leads to that. Okay. We're not just
No, I know. I know.
Yeah.
Okay, well, anyway. For that reason, I mean, I hadn't seen this movie before tonight. I think it was
Who
a good...
Who bought this?
I borrowed it from a co-worker.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, fine. Thank God.
They shall not be named.
They should. This is why global warming exists. If you believe in that sort of thing, it's because they make copies of this for every man, woman, child. It's like, for who? Who is this for? It's for the fishes. It's going to end up in the ocean.
Next to the E.T.
It's documented forever, Travis.
Yeah.
For the future.
It's going in a time capsule.
I mean, I was hoping we were going to be able to crack this, because a lot of times you guys can make sense of stuff.
I did crack it. I don't know.
Okay. Well, for the plot holes alone, I can't recommend this movie. I think it was a good idea, and it could have been, it had a lot of potential, but these, I mean, it just bothers me that, ugh.
I like it. I like how every review was like, ugh. That's how everything started.
What's the deal with the whole tacked on? I mean, 237, like, that's a big deal if you're going to take on that Like that's those are big shoes to fill, and they just tack it on 237.
It's but it's for misdirection. You're in. You got those hallway shots.
Yeah,
and he thought haunted. He thought Shining haunting.
He's throwing everything.
He's trying to get you to think.
What's every genre we can throw at you to make you think?
He's trying to make you think ghost. He's trying to make you think slasher, and then eventually it's like no, it's science fiction.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, most people, too, they wouldn't even notice it. Like, Travis pointed it out on the house at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't even notice it till the boat.
But when you put a fucking 237 on a cabin, or, you know, like a state door, a room door, I guess, in a hall. Yeah.
State room that you would pay for to stay for a night or two.
Then you're calling into
that is
my, or calling to mind the Shining.
Yeah.
Yeah, I cannot recommend this movie. The only I can't.
So that's enough. All right, so that is.
I cannot recommend that.
can't recommend it enough. That's what I heard. All right, so that's Triangle on the Saturday Night Freak Show, and as I think we've said a couple times in this show, you can catch our past like 200 episodes on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Podbay FM, Castroller.
Three of them at least are good.
And probably more than that. I agree with that. I think you're right,
at
sir.
At least
three episodes are good. It's up to you to find out which ones by listening to all 200. Next week, it's Travis is at bat. Travis is going to show us a film called...
Oh, yeah.
My film is going to be...
It's called Indecision.
It's happening right
now. Definitely editing... My film will be in editing. We're going to watch
Igor. Where are you, Igor?
The classic animated Nausicaä Valley of the Wind.
Wow.
There you go. So Nausicaä Valley of the Wind next week on the Saturday Night Freak Show. And until then, the basement is going dark.